This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Health and Living on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Soon Hing. And in the studio with me is consultant orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Rajesh Singh. Foot pain is a common problem with a wide range of possible causes. And this month, consultant orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Rajesh Singh, explains how foot pain is different in different groups of people. And if you'd like to join in this conversation, the number to call is 0377109000. And you can also send us WhatsApp messages or to our BFM SMS 0162019000. Welcome, Dr. Rajesh.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
First simple question from somebody simple like me. What are the causes of foot pain?
Okay. The first thing I'd like to say is what foot pain is not. So the reason why I asked to do this topic is because I got fed up of sitting in clinic and telling patient after patient, no, it's not a bunion and no, it's not a spur. So bunions and spurs are not foot pain. A spur is an appearance on an x-ray and a bunion is just a descriptive term. It's like saying I have toe or I have finger. It doesn't mean anything.
But if I have a pain in that region of my body, then it is the pain from that region. So it's a foot pain.
Okay. So that's an association, not causation. And one of the real challenges that we have in medicine today, I mean, not just at the level of the public, even at the level of medical students, when I teach them, is to try to go through this exercise of logic. And the logic is always as follows. Does what I see being abnormal fit with what is known with the process that's going on? So that then leads to two gaps. The first gap is a gap of knowledge, which is what do I see? And the idea of being able to have a soft appreciation on examination is something that's lost with a lot of students now, because it's many hours of seeing one after another after another. So if your business is furniture, for example, you'd walk into somebody's office and you'd clock all the furniture. You'd say good quality, bad quality. Yep, I sold that model before. Yep, I know where that model came from. So you have an appreciation in your industry. Similarly, I was with someone who fits cabinets. So their business is cabinetry. So they came to an office I was at and they were looking at the cabinets going, oh, this is pretty good stuff. Where did you get it from? It's a little bit unusual. So similarly, in the musculoskeletal sciences, there aren't many people who have spent the time and effort to go, this is my business, to look at something and go, well, okay, I know what's going on there. So one of it is a deficit in appreciation of what they see. The other one is a deficit in knowledge, which is bunions don't cause pain.
When you walk, they might cause pain.
No. If you have pain in the big toe when you walk, it doesn't automatically make it a bunion if your big toe's lumpy. Right? So the most common causes or the most common misunderstandings are, so let's take a bunion. Lots of Asians have very broad forefoot. So the heel is the hind foot, and where your toes are, the knuckles of the toes called the metatarsal heads, that's called the forefoot. Now, if you plant your foot flat on the ground and you look at your forefoot being very wide, now that's a wide forefoot, and lots of our shoes are made for narrow feet, not for wide feet. So what then happens is you have a deviation of the big toe towards the midline.
They're being forced in by the narrowness of the
shoe. They're being forced in by the narrowness of the shoe, and the shape of the foot is being changed. The ligaments which support the foot on the outside, they're being stretched out. So that's not a bunion. A bunion has a different medical term or implication. So one of the things that I try to caution my medical students is I caution them with using labels. I say, if you use a label, you must understand that that label has diagnostic, meaning to the exclusion of other causes, prognostic, meaning what will happen in future, and therapeutic, meaning what will we do about these options. So a lot of the time, these words are used in a social context. So someone will call me and will come into my clinic and say, I have a bunion. I'll say, well, okay, that's a social bunion. Now let's work out what your medical bunion is or what your medical problem is.
Well, doctor, we are not the specialists. We are not the ones with the medical terminology. Mm. We don't understand. So we only know that it's my foot and I have a pain there. Mm. So it must be something.
Yeah. And I think that's a fair comment, right? So to say that you have pain in the foot is a very fair comment. What would be useful for a professional like myself is if you can be relatively specific about what the location of the pain is, what the timing of the pain is, and what aggravates and relieves the pain. So I'll give you a very, very simple example. There's a gentleman I saw in the clinic who had pain in the soles of his feet. So he gets up first thing in the morning. He says, "Doc, those first 5 or 6 steps in the morning, they absolutely kill me. Then as I warm up throughout the day, then the pain goes away." I go, "Okay, that's relatively simple diagnosis. That's called plantar fasciitis. That's a condition where there's some tissue in the sole of the foot. That tissue is subject to wear and tear. And that pattern of pain most commonly lends itself to the diagnosis." I said, "Okay. Now, does the pain come on at any other time?" He said, "Yes. When I sit down for a long time in a chair and I get up and I start walking, the pain's there again." So immediately, diagnosis cancelled. It's not plantar fasciitis. It's something else. So the history is 90% of the diagnosis. And so when somebody comes in and they says it hurts and they can't tell me very much more, then that's a challenge.
I understand exactly what you're saying to me, but I have friends who are like that, who will say, "I have a pain." And you say, "Where's the pain?" He says, "Somewhere in my body." Mm. "And what kind of pain is it?" Whether it's a throbbing pain or a sharp pain. Mm. They say, "Pain." Mm. So, you know, most of us don't have the vocabulary or the observation required.
I think as a person, as a sort of lay individual, I probably wouldn't expect you to have the observation, but I would expect you to have, if you don't have the vocabulary, I would at least expect you to have the limitation. This one can or this one cannot. So the lovely lady I saw as the last patient before I came here this afternoon, she had a very clear, "I can't pick up my grandchild." Right? Mm. Very, very clear problem statement. "My shoulders hurt, I can't pick up my grandchild." And that was an excellent starting point to work out what is it that I needed to do for her. What was realistic and what was unrealistic. So similarly, if you have foot pain, it's very useful to come with a problem statement. "I can't go for a morning walk in Mount Kera. I can't walk to the market." Or, "I can walk to the market, but I can't walk back." Right? Or, "I can't put my foot flat. I have to keep it in this, that, or the other position." So the people who come to me with the most clear complaints are usually golfers. They say, "I can't golf." Then we go, "Okay, what do you mean? You can't tee off. You can't putt. You can't swing." They go, "Yeah, the story is different. So if I can walk the first 3 holes and then from 3 to 6 it gets painful and after 6 I can't play, it's one set of potential problems going on. If it is I can play and it hurts the next day, that's a different set of potential problems going on." So the history is so paramount that it would really be helpful for us as healthcare professionals if you come to us with a relatively detailed sort of list of complaints as to what is it can be achieved.
We really, as the non-medical people, going to you as a patient, we need to take notes ourselves. We need to be precise.
Yes, yes. And the more precise you are, the more quickly I can fix your problem. Because one of the things you have to appreciate is the skeleton ages. It's an inevitable part of living long enough. And as the skeleton ages, there are changes. Now, if we're very sensitive in our examination and investigations, we can pick all those changes up. That then begs the next question. Is this change causal or is it associative? So while we're on the topic of foot pain, people will say, "Oh, I've got this pain in the back of my heel, but it's coming from a pinched nerve in my back." I go, "Well, okay. How do you know that?" They say, "Because the MRI shows that I have a slip disc." Now, that's another huge common fallacy because
they're making a causation.
They're making a causation where there isn't one. There is an association but no causation. So it takes someone to critically look at the question and go, "Well, is this true or is this false?" And in some instances, they may both exist. So I had a gentleman who comes from Pulau Ketam. Didn't know many people live there, but he comes, poor guy comes all the way from Pulau Ketam. And he said this exact same thing to me. He said, I have this pinched nerve in my back that's causing me terrible pain in my foot. Can you do anything about it? I said, well, it's not in it. The pain's not from your back. It's from a pinch in the nerve somewhere else. So we have to look at the structures in the foot. They come from a long way away, right? And so the examination and the differential diagnosis have to go from all the structures outside of the foot all the way up to the knee and then beyond.
I have a perfect example for you to kind of look at. Sure. Whether this kind of instruction or this kind of information mm-hmm. is really useful. Mm-hmm. This is coming from WhatsApp. Mm-hmm. And the question is, what could pain in the arch of the foot near the heel be caused by? Could it be high unfixed acid gout?
Okay.
Is that enough information? Is that detailed enough?
It's enough. It's enough for me to put into the machine and see whether anything comes out. Okay. So the first thing is I don't have any background information. So I need the background information of age, gender, occupation. Those would sort of probably be the minimum that I would take as a starting point. So I don't have that information. So let's take apart the sort of contextual information that I have. And let's just look at the presumption. The presumption is this person is asking, what is the association between pain in that particular joint and high uric acid or gout? And the answer is usually not very much. But that's got a caveat on it. And the caveat is that gout means that there is deposition of an abnormal salt into tissues where it shouldn't be. It's like pouring sand into your engine. So you pour sand into your car engine spoil. You pour sand into motorcycle engine spoil. You pour sand into your blender, blender spoil. Right? So it depends where the sand goes. So the question that they're asking is not a very clear one. So to answer your question, no. If I put that information into my algorithm machine, the answer comes out as being cannot help.
How does this person know he has gout?
Okay, so gout is a very interesting topic which we've talked about before, but I'll just talk about it briefly now. People do a blood test, they see a number, and they say you have gout. That's wrong. Gout is actually a clinical diagnosis, which means that it is a diagnosis made based on observation of signs, symptoms which progress over a period of time. A symptom is what you as a patient feel. A sign is what I as a doctor find out about your condition. And those two pieces of information taken across the continuum of time give us what's called a natural history. So if this person has done a blood test and says my uric acid is high, I have gout, they are wrong. They just have high uric acid.
That's what I thought this person was going along.
Yes.
I've got some kind of a pain. I know I have high uric acid, therefore it must be gout.
Okay, but let's ask the question, why did they have a uric acid test? They had a uric acid test because the common community understanding amongst generalist practitioners is joint pain means must got gout. So if I do uric acid test, uric acid is high, then I can blame the uric acid for the pain. But you see, the challenge in the logic there is the patient then gets denied appropriate treatment because they've had a categorization in a box that they don't belong to.
So you're saying to me too is that high uric acid and pain in the foot are not necessary. There's no real causal relation. I mean, the causal relationship is not necessarily.
Exactly right. So in fact, high uric acid exists categorically in 5% of the population. In any population, even if you take a population of babies age 1 day old. Okay, hear me out here. If you take a population of babies age 1 day old, 5% of them have high uric acid. If you take a population of aunties or uncles age 100 years old, 5 of them have high uric acid. The reason being, the definition of a high uric acid is a statistical definition. It's not a medical definition. And the statistical definition being 2 standard deviations outside the mean value for any given population. So that is the fallacy in thinking with gout.
I'm speaking with consultant orthopedic surgeon Dr. Rajesh Singh about foot pain. We haven't gone very far yet, but we're still talking about foot pain.
It gives you an idea how deep the topic is.
and how it can manifest for different people. We haven't gone that direction. But anyway, if you have questions for Dr. Rajesh about your foot or any issues affecting your musculoskeletal system, call 7710-9000 or WhatsApp us, SMS us on 016-201-9000. Up next, we will talk about the categories of people who suffer from foot pain. This is BFM Bigger Picture, 89.9. We've been talking about foot pain, but we haven't gone very far. And based on the little notes that we got from somebody who cooks SMS in and said, look, I have pain in my heel and high uric acid, I've got gout. And you said we don't really have enough information. And you pointed to things like gender, occupation, age. Why are those things important?
Okay, so let's start with the very obvious. Age is very, very important because it puts the category of likely diagnosis. The foot's a machine that we use to walk on, and like all machines, it's subject to wear and tear. So there are certain conditions beyond the age of, let's say, 40, 45, 50, which are almost universal. And, you know, having crossed those sort of thresholds myself, I can feel them coming in. And I've also treated myself, and I've sat there with the ultrasound machine and a needle, stuck it into my into the joint of my big toe, going, man, this really, really hurts. And it's changed my practice a little bit. I've become a little bit kinder, a little bit more thoughtful about the anesthetic required for the procedure.
Empathy.
I think sympathy is probably a better word. I've become a lot more sympathetic. So age is a really big one because there are certain parts of the machine that wear regularly. In the analogy is very simple. If you have a car, your car's done 100,000 kilometers, you're going to have to think about what's going to happen with your timing belt. You're going to have to think about your gear oil in addition to the normal services of the car. So age is a big one. Gender and occupation are two more. So if your occupation involves lots of standing, walking, so factory foreman, guy who works in a rubber estate. So not rubber estate, a palm oil estate. So this guy's a supervisor at a palm oil estate. So that tells me something about what the demand of his foot is. So when he says he has pain at the back of the heel, then the categories of things I'm looking at are someone who's would be different to someone, say, for example, a college-age student who comes in and says, now my foot hurts, because he's more likely to be overuse related. The problem's more likely to be inflammatory in nature, much less likely to be degenerative in nature. So the categories of foot pain, you can look at it in terms of location of the foot, which is commonly looked at, whether it's in the ball of the foot, the hind foot, the midfoot, the forefoot, or you can look at it in terms of what someone's age, occupation, and demands are, and then take it sort of from there.
What about gender?
Okay, women have the problem with heels. Because of high heels. Now, it's not to say that the high heels themselves are bad. It's just that the common afflictions of the foot are exacerbated by high heels. So this thing that I told you about, a wide forefoot, for example, so I had two identical patients who came in at the same time with exactly the same problem. One was a man, one was a woman. The man treated successfully, end of story. The woman came back after 2 years. And the reason is because she refused to give up her shoe collection. She said, I've spent, it's a serious matter. She said, you know, I spent many years building up this collection. I'm not giving up my shoe collection.
That one you have to talk to Mira about for another show, because yes. I have no comment.
Yes. And, you know, neither do I. But apparently it's a big deal.
As far as gender is concerned too, though, do you see more women with foot pain as opposed to men? Because men, you know how men are, we don't talk about pain very well.
Look, I think men don't talk about health very well in general.
Not just pain,
right? So the topic of health amongst men is probably secondary to cars, money, kids, not necessarily in that order. So the idea of men having pain is they tend to accept a lot more pain. They tend to be a lot more reticent to do something about it because they feel it interferes with their main role as, you know, breadwinner, their job, things like that.
I have a male online, Karamjit, and who's complaining about persistent foot pain in the heel.
Mm. Hello.
Hi, good evening, Doctor.
Hi, Karamjit.
I can't help but think that, you know, while I was waiting, while I was listening to you guys, my question was somewhat answered. But okay, so let me just give you a bit of background. I'm a 41-year-old, 104 kilograms, embarrassing, I know.
How tall are you?
I am about 175 centimeters tall.
You're a big guy, all right, keep going.
I'm a big guy. No surprise there. So the thing is, to keep fit, you know, as much as I can, I do play badminton regularly. And what happens is after every, not exactly after every game, but the next day, the following day after I play, I have this this pain in the heel of my foot, my left foot specifically.
Yeah.
All right, it's not my dominant foot. Okay. If that basically you know helps with your diagnosis, so my wife has told me a number of times to go and see a doctor, you know, because it happens every time I play. But these days, and that was when I was younger. Now these days, as I'm getting older, it seems to happen also after any kind of physical activity. For example, a light jog, just to give you an example there. So I'm wondering if it's it's related to my weight, related to the activity, or is it as you mentioned earlier? You used the word degenerative?
Degenerative.
Yeah. So if you could shed some light on what I'm experiencing, I would really help.
Okay, a couple of quick questions. Are you diabetic?
Yeah. No, I'm not diabetic.
Do you smoke cigarettes?
I just got myself tested.
Do you smoke cigarettes?
No, I don't smoke. I don't drink either.
Okay.
So,
what's the nature of your work? Seated, standing?
I'm basically a blue collar worker. So right. I sit, most of the day, and I don't do any kind of physical activity when it comes to work.
Okay. So all right. Okay, Karim, that's sort of a very useful scenario. Thanks.
Yeah, we'll get you to turn off your phone, and we'll answer over the air.
Okay. So Karimjit, let's take a wear tear repair model, right? So you're 41 and you've had pain and the pain's getting progressive. And it's the same sort of pain, less activity is starting to cause more pain. So I take a wear tear repair model and the location at which you describe your pain, I would say is at the Achilles tendon, which is at the back of the heel, not on the sole of the foot. But either or, both of them are likely. The pain at the back of the heel is much more likely because of the nature of what you describe. I can already tell you what your diagnosis is, just over the air. Your diagnosis is correctly an Achilles tendinitis or an associated tendinopathy. So what that means is the tendon which moves your heel is called the Achilles tendon, and the Achilles tendon is abnormal. Now, the Achilles tendon is subject to a lot of load, and so the problem is a wear tear repair problem where you have wear and tear of the tendon, and then you have repair of the tendon. Your weight is contributory in the sense that the wear and tear is very high when that tendon has to move that weight. The badminton is contributory in that when you go play badminton, you've got this sudden short burst of activity that spikes the wear and tear of the tendon. And then when you go through the repair process, that repair process causes some inflammation and pain.
Why is it not in his dominant heel? Or the heel of his dominant leg?
Entirely coincident. Entirely coincident. The public has a very strong perception that the sort of dominance matters. The reality is that the variation in yourself between left and right is profound. So I'm a big musculoskeletal ultrasound guy. I'm a world authority on the subject. I teach lots of places around the world on lots of different courses and lots of different people. And the closest way I can get to explaining it is to say your nose and my nose not the same, correct? So why should your inside and my inside be the same? And even in yourself, the left and right are very different. So a lady whose knee I treated today for a nerve impingement is a very, very sharp lady, right? Because I drew a line on the knee where it was I was going to treat the nerve impingement using a minimally invasive technique. And on the other knee, I drew the line slightly lower. And she said to me, but you said it's the same nerve. How come this one that is trapped here, that one is trapped there? Very, very insightful. And my answer is exactly the same because the body is not symmetrical. So I think that inherent asymmetry probably gives you the answer as to why one side hurts more than the other or one side is different than the other. More likely for the lower limb,
rather than for the upper limb. For the upper limb, yes, dominance matters. If it's your right hand, you're right-handed, you do everything with your right hand, then yes, you have more wear and tear there.
In the context of, you know, he mentioned, Karamjit mentioned his weight, how much do you think is his weight contributing to what's happening to his heel?
Okay, so let's work through the mathematics. This thing called the joint reaction force. So when your foot hits the ground, your muscles have to contract to create a counterforce for it. So for every 10 kilos that you have, you create 100 newtons. So it's a lot of force. For lower limb stuff, you cannot get away from weight. But, you know, it becomes a chicken and egg story. I have pain, I cannot exercise, I gain weight. I gain weight, I need to exercise, I cannot. And it's actually very, very disheartening for patients. I have patients who come in and say, now don't tell me it's because of my weight. Because they've been told by every doctor it's because of their weight. And 9 times out of 10, it's not. Yes, the weight is there, but just because we don't know what the cause is, you shouldn't be blaming the weight. I could stand to lose some weight, right? Everybody could. It's the nature of our society.
No, because of you, we've been talking about weight. If I have somebody with like small, if there's such a thing as, you know, you're large frame, but you have small feet, that might not be proportional to, if there's such a thing, by the way.
God's,
like if you're a certain height, you have to be have certain feet, size feet.
No, God's design's perfect.
So there is no such thing that, you know, you're too tall for your feet.
No such thing.
No such thing.
Unless I'm selling you expensive shoes or insoles. Then there is. But if I'm not selling you expensive shoes or insoles, no, there isn't.
Okay, we have another caller, Amu. Amu, I think you probably need to get more information from him because he says he has pain in his right foot, base of his right foot, random, and it's a throbbing pain.
Ooh,
Amu?
Interesting. Fire away. Hi, Amu.
Hi, doctor. Good evening. Okay, the pain comes at random. And then, you know, you just imagine how a jellyfish would move, and that's how it is. It's like it comes out and then, you know, it heats up and then it goes off. And it lasts for about maybe 20 seconds. And then there is nothing, and then it comes on again. And it doesn't hurt when I walk, but I notice that it happens when I'm sitting down, or, you know, or like when I'm doing my meditation, it happens. I don't even know which doctor to go and see. And yeah, so it is becoming a bit more frequent now, and I'm active. I'm not overweight.
Okay, slow down. Let's get the history first. So you're female. How young are you?
51.
Sorry?
51.
Okay, 51-year-old woman. Are you perimenopausal?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, so there you go. That's your answer then. I know, it's amazing, isn't it? Just pluck it out of the bag. All right. So
what then?
Sorry?
What should I do then? How do I counter this?
Okay, slow down. We still haven't got to a diagnosis yet. What's the relationship of your symptoms to your menopause?
I don't know.
Okay, so did this feeling start in the 2 years around your menopause? Or was it from before?
Before, I think, was not so frequent as it is now.
Okay, so it was there before, but since you're going through the changes now, it's more frequent, correct?
I think so. Okay. And I think last 2-3 weeks is becoming a bit more frequent.
Okay. Go back to the sensation that you're having now. The location of the sensation, is it on your heel? Your heel being defined as the thing that you step on the floor.
No, it's not on the heel. It is at the curve of the foot.
It is at the curve of the foot. So that means on the inside curve of the foot.
Yes.
Okay. So that's a nerve problem then.
Okay.
This jellyfish description that you have, and for short, sharp durations, and then that goes away, sounds very much like a nerve entrapment. More so if you tell me that it's when you're meditating and you're in that position for meditation, it's likely to be an entrapment, a very mild or subtle entrapment of a nerve as it passes through a fibro-osseous channel. Fibro-osseous channel means that the nerve passes through different sorts of tunnels, and the tunnels are made out of different things.
Okay.
In certain types of tunnels, the nerve tends to get compressed.
Okay.
That tends to be more common as you're older. And in women, it tends to be worse around the menopause, because the tissues around the tunnels are controlled by the female hormones. And as those hormones become less, the tunnel becomes a little bit stiffer.
Okay.
So it's something that I've commonly seen, and it is amenable to being fixed if it does bother you. But it would take a very detailed physical examination to see what are the groups of muscles supplied by these nerves, and look for a pattern or distribution of muscle involvement. And from that, I should be able to tell you where your problem's coming from.
Okay, but so I should see a foot doctor?
Yes, you should see someone who's going to take some time, do a proper physical examination. And certainly your general practitioner is a reasonable first point of call. Because if there's something really, really obvious, then they'll be able to see it and point it out straight away. If not, they'll be able to refer you on to someone appropriate.
Okay. Should I not see a doctor? What is the worst case scenario for this pain?
Difficult situation. Assuming that it is what I think it is, which is a benign source of pain. Benign meaning not dangerous, not coming from something nasty that we don't know about. It should gradually become more and more persistent and constant. And it may or may not be associated with specific muscle weakness.
Okay.
The challenge is when it starts getting associated with muscle weakness, in some circumstances, the muscles don't come back.
Okay.
So that's probably, if you say to me, what's the worst case scenario? Assuming it's a benign, meaning not dangerous, not due to some odd, funny cancer or lump or weird and wonderful disease. It's just sort of the normal run-of-the-mill kind of thing. Then the worst that can happen is you get a little bit of weakness and the pain becomes persistent. That's all.
Okay. All right. One last question, Doc.
Fire away.
Do I have to give up my high heels?
No, you don't have to give up your high heels. You know, it is a... If I examined you and found that there was a direct causation and I said, Juan, your heels are causing your pain, even then I would give you a choice. I would say, suffer for style, or if you don't want to suffer, give up the heels. But, you know, rarely do I make a drastic lifestyle change without being completely clear that it's causal and associate. It's causal and not associative.
Okay, so this is causal, right?
I don't know yet. I haven't examined you yet.
Okay.
Thank you for the call.
So much. Thank you.
You know, you just talked to a woman, and earlier we were talking about whether being male or female matters. Mm. We had Karamjit, who is male. So are there foot problems that women suffer beyond high heels? Do women suffer foot pain on account of certain things that men don't, or men suffer foot pain that women don't?
Well, let's just take our two callers, right? Very classic kind of situation. Karanjit called because he couldn't do sport. This lady called because she's worried about her health. Remember what I said? Men will come when there is something, when it stops them from doing something.
Interference.
Women will come when they want to know, really, is this bad or is this not bad? And which is, you know, all fine and funny if you're talking about things like feet. But when you're talking things about common cancers, breast, prostate, uterus, thyroid, gut, it's a big deal. When you're talking about things like diabetes, high blood pressure, risk factors for heart attacks and risk factors for stroke, it's a big deal. Men have to take a much bigger subscription for their health than they currently do. And that really is part of the bigger picture.
You know, my takeaway for this for today's show is not actually about foot pain, you know. I will tell you what it is, but I have another message, and this is from somebody who is texting. He said, I have gout. After a long day of standing and walking, when I stand on tiptoes position, at a certain foot angle, I would experience a pop on my heel, like how we would pop our knuckles. And what is it? Some have been telling me is the crystallized uric acid breaking up.
Okay, I can tell you it's not the crystallized uric acid breaking up, because that doesn't fit with known science. The crystallized uric acid breaking up will cause you severe, unrelenting, excruciating pain. Recurrently and consistently.
He does add that, you know, sometimes it would be painful, but after the pop, my feet feel slightly relaxed. So it's not true.
So that's incompatible with science. If you ask me what's happening, it sounds like, again, a misassociation between the pop and the gout. Yes, you may have gout. I have no doubt that you may have gout. But the symptom that you describe is very consistently caused by a tendon snap, a painless tendon snap. So some people will say when they go up the stairs or go down the stairs, right? Those are tendon snaps. Now, if you take a guitar string and you pluck a guitar string, it goes twang. If the guitar string is really thick and really short, it goes tuk. And that's basically what you're hearing. What you're hearing is you're hearing a tendon snap. Painless tendon snaps are completely benign, meaning nothing for us to worry about. If it's painful, that's when you need to have it looked at. So if you say, look, I have it, it snaps, I feel better, woo-ha, excellent. Just don't think that it's your crystal buildup breaking, because that's not within the realms of reasonable science.
Another phone call, Nafisa, who has a meniscus tear 3 years ago, now sharp pain in the bottom of her foot.
Okay. Hi, Nafisa.
Hi.
Hi, okay. Gender I have. Let's go age.
Okay, so I'm female. I'm 25 years old. I'm a little bit overweight. I practice an active lifestyle. I do kickboxing. I do taekwondo. I do hiking. And so what happened was, a few years back, I had a meniscus tear where I had a knee lock. It happened a few times, about 3 times before actually the meniscus tore, where I had to go for an operation to remove, I would say, part of my meniscus. So I'm now on medications where I just have to just gradually eat, just to ease the pain when I do a lot of workout. So what happened is recently, so I would say my knee pain is no more a problem anymore. I don't really get knee pains anymore. So what happened is recently, I've been getting a lot of pain at the bottom of my foot. And I'm not sure what's the cause. It's just really pain where I can't walk. It's like sharp pain. And it just happens when I walk a lot. So I'm not sure what's the cause. But I do not think it relates to my knee, because I had an injury on my left knee. And I'm feeling pain on both of my bottom of my foot.
Hmm. Okay, you're 25, did you say?
Yes.
Okay. What's the nature of your work? Standing, sitting?
Sitting.
Okay. What type of shoes are you wearing right now?
I'm wearing some Skechers.
You're wearing some Skechers. Okay, so that's informative. Now tell me about a little bit more about this pain. Is it right under the heel of your foot? So when your foot's on the ground flat, it's at the back part of your foot. Is that right?
Yes, it's actually every part, at every edge of my foot. It can be at below my toe. It can be at the center of my foot. It can be at the bottom. I would say it just moves around. The pain literally moves around. So I'm not really sure. Can't really say where exactly the pain, but the pain is really unbearable, and I really can't walk. I will literally have to, not put weight on it, give it some time, and then I will be able to walk.
How long is some time?
I would just say usually like 5-10 minutes. Mm. I will usually just, what happens, for example, it happens when I'm in a mall. Mm. I would just not put weight on it. I would try to put weight, if example it hurts at the back of my foot towards my left side, I will put weight on my right. Then after a while, when I feel there's lesser pain, then I will walk as normal.
Okay, all right. That's very instructive. So let's go through the system again. It's a young woman with fleeting pains, meaning that they come, go, and they're in different structures. So the process that's involved is not degenerative. It is most likely inflammatory. The thing that we would have to do is, in the presence of a meniscus tear and in someone who's had repeated meniscus tear, I'd really want to do a biomechanical assessment and look at your lower limbs and go, what is it that's going on that's overstressing your feet? So if you want sort of a simplistic lay view to it, your feet are being overstressed, and when the structure is overstressed, it gets painful and inflamed. And I think that's what's going on. The question that I have to answer is why? And from what you describe, it sounds like there's some biomechanical cause. So I would start by examining your feet, your knees, and your hips, and then work out whether there's any funny business going on in there that's causing you to overload your feet or not. And that's probably as much as I could do over the air, I think.
You mentioned something called biomechanical, which is how we walk, I assume, and how we are built.
No, biomechanics is basically how your body as an engine reacts to gravity.
So and that has nothing to do with how we move? Of course
it does, it does. So that's, so it's not just about how we move, it's how we stand, what postures we take when we sit. What we do habitually, like the gentleman reading the news, for example, he fidgets incessantly. His foot just goes up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down a million times an hour when he's reading the news. Then when he gets up, he has a limp, one step, two step. Then on the third step, he stops limping. So if you gave him a bit more space and he stretched his feet out because it's quite tall, and he didn't do that, when he got up and walked, he wouldn't have any pain. And just observe.
You know, because sometimes when I hear all these people talk about, you know, I walk and I have pain, one would also assume that we all know how to walk, and that, you know, it's a natural thing. And why should something that's natural cause so much pain to our being?
Suffering is to be human is to suffer. Wear tear and repair.
We're going to religion now. What's your takeaway? We're running out of time, but what's your takeaway?
Already?
Yeah.
That's an interesting one. Well, firstly, before we run out of time, we give a shout out to all the boys and girls at the gym I'm going to see later. Hi. I'll see you in person shortly. And the takeaway is probably, let's do a biomechanical assessment. If you have foot pain, let's try and look at a slightly bigger picture rather than just the foot. And let's look at how you walk, what the demand of the foot is, what you want your foot to do for you, and what you're willing to do for your foot.
You know, the conversation, though it's about the foot and foot pain, for me it's been like, you know, guys, think about what's happening to your own body.
Yeah.
Take good details. Know, get acquainted. Don't talk about, I have a pain, a throbbing pain, a sharp pain. Where is it? Know how to locate.
Yeah.
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 Thank you very much. It's been fun talking to you.
Likewise.
I've been speaking to consultant orthopedic surgeon Dr. Rajesh Singh about foot pain, and actually more than foot pain. And if you miss any part of this interview, you can download the podcast from our BFM app, available on the Apple Store and Google Play. I'm Lim Soon Heng, and this has been Health and Living on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.